It's been one of the most exhaustive and stimulating and confusing weeks of my life. This time last Sunday morning, just about this time, I was sitting with Jim and Tammy Baker in their little house out in Palm Springs, California. I'd gotten a telephone call Saturday morning, from Jim, and I struggled with that. I knew what was going to happen. I struggled with my place in this. This was not the right time for me to leave. We had this whole weekend coming up, and we were working on the activities for the banquet and for the activities for today. And besides that, I had committed myself to help Bill Nelson, Congressman Nelson, with his book on an American adventure in space, and I have been working desperately trying to get the first chapter and the outline done so that we could make a presentation to a publisher on it. And they just had a whole lot of things going on, as well as the fact that we were meeting every morning for prayer, and the elders were having meetings, and all the activity that was going on inside of the body. Then for me to get a telephone call from the outside from somebody to say the sky is falling out here, and would you be willing to come out and help me? But I got on a plane last Saturday week and flew out to Los Angeles and then drove across the mountains to Palm Springs and spent 3 days with Jim and Tammy. I struggled with whether I should be there or not. I didn't know all of the stories that were happening. I didn't know what was going to break. I didn't know how the press was going to pick all of this up. I had no idea of the magnitude of it. All I knew was that here was some people who were hurting, and they had cried out and said, help. And I didn't feel like I had any choice except to go. God gave me two visions as I was flying out to California last week concerning this, before I got to the Bakers and before I knew the full story of what had happened, and still don't know the full story after speaking with them personally, because there's a lot of other things that keep opening up, and there's a lot of other players in this cast that are still revealing information, and a lot of other things that are happening. But there were two things that I felt God was saying as I was going out there. One of them was, he was saying, there are cracks in the base of the tower that has been built by the electronic media. And he said, all across this nation, the electronic media has been building their tower, and it's gotten higher and higher and higher until it almost reaches the heavens. And there are now cracks in the base of that tower, and the wise man will step out of the way when it begins to fall. And it was just a warning to me not to get sucked up into, because it's so easy to get sucked up into somebody else's vision, and then to find out that the division has problems, that there's corruption at the base of it or at the heart of it. And so I determined that I should not get involved personally in what was going on, to try to keep arm's reach. But how do you do that when you've got your arm around somebody at the same time? So that was one of the things the Lord was saying. The other thing he was saying to me was that there is a mighty shaking that is about to happen. Now, this was Saturday afternoon as I was flying out to California, that I felt God was saying there is a mighty shaking that is about to happen in the kingdom of God. And I am going to loose the press on the kingdom of God as I once loosed the locust on the kingdom of Israel. I'm going to turn them loose to eat up anything that can be eaten. Just be prepared for it. Know it's going to happen. That I am the one who has loosed the press, and I will be the one who will pull them back. But just be aware that the shaking that is happening, I am doing the shaking. Well, with that in mind, I really began to struggle with some things, because before I left, I realized I was going to have to stop by in Tulsa on my way back from Palm Springs. I was going to be with Jim and Tammy Baker Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and then fly Tuesday to Tulsa And Wednesday morning, to be with Oral Roberts up in his prayer tower, as Jimmy Swaggart says, perched in his prayer tower, for a nationwide television program Wednesday morning, then try to get back home and try to explain to everybody what was going on. And I felt that God was saying, there are times when Christians need to stick together. When the attack starts, when the rumblings start, when the shakings start, then that's the time to circle the wagons and to stick together. And the picture he gave me as all of this was beginning to break was a picture of little kids playing Ring Around the Rosie. And you know how they all stand playing Ring Around the Rosie, and then there would be one child that is running around on the outside, and there is a time when the kids all come in together. I can't remember the game quite as well as my grandchildren can, but there's a time when they all stand in together real tight, and the kid who's on the outside can't get in. He's always trying to push himself in, because once he can get inside, then he can get inside that circle and he can destroy the circle. And God says there's a time to circle the wagons. There's a time for his people to put their arms around each other and to pull in tight. And even if you don't agree with each other, even if you are really at odds with each other as far as methods are concerned, that there are times when the shaking comes that you are forced to stand with one another. And I felt the Lord was saying, you, Jamie, are going to be forced to stand with Jim and Tammy Baker, even though you don't agree with what they're doing up there at PTL. There's a whole lot of things that I have problems with, And there's some things I've got problems with that are happening in Tulsa at the same time. But these are your brothers. These are my children. And you are supposed to stand with them. So we pulled together and we've circled our wagons. And at this particular time, I think it's just a matter of God's people just saying, we're going to focus our eyes in on God. You see, we've got two choices on a day like today. One of the choices is to focus our eyes in on the battle. Now, that's what the press is doing. They're having a ball. They're having a heyday. I can't tell you the phone calls I've got. I made a mistake by giving an interview to the Washington Post the other day and then got quoted out across the nation with some things they told me they weren't going to quote me on. And so I've decided now you just don't say anything to anybody from now on. But I've discovered that you can look horizontally if you want to. The problem is when you look horizontally, your eyes are always begin to focus down. If you look straight out across the surface of the earth, your eyes eventually will pull down, down, down until you're looking down. And if you're looking down, you're going to begin to pick out each other's flaws. You're begin to see the problems that we all have. You're going to take a look at the dirt that's in everybody's life, and it's there. I mean, it is in everybody's life. There's none of us who can stand the exposure of being hung out to where everybody can take a look at us, because nobody's clean. Nobody's clean. Nobody's got the right to throw the first stone in this kind of thing. That's whether you live in Melbourne or whether you live in Baton Rouge. We just don't have the right to toss rocks at one another with this kind of thing. But we've got two choices. In a time of shaking, there are two choices. One is to look horizontally and to look at all the things that are going on and to go, titch, titch, it's really bad. Or to look in on God. And I have made my choice that I'm going to focus my attention on a holy God, and on a God who forgives, and on a God who has a plan for this universe, and on a God who is in control. I can't believe, as I've looked back over what I have said here over the last 2 or 3 months, some of the sermons that I've preached, how I have been preparing myself and for anybody who would have been listening to that stuff for what God has been doing. And I didn't know this thing was going to break. But some messages concerning Gideon and some messages from Haggai that God was opening up and giving some principles that he wanted us to employ as we come into a time of shaking. I thought it was just going to be a time of shaking for this church. I knew God was going to shake this church. I knew back in December when we called the church into prayer and into fasting and called the leaders into confrontation that God was going to shake the church. I expected him to do it. The shaking had already started. And all we were doing was circling our wagons and saying we're going to look to God. We're going to do it in prayer. We're not going to do it by simply sitting down as most churches do it and fighting each other through business meetings. We're going to look to God. We're going to hear what God says. We're only going to move as God moves. And the challenge that I gave to this body and to the leadership was to lay down everything precious. Because if you don't lay it down, God will take it away from you. Because you simply are not going to be allowed, leaders in the body of the tabernacle, you're not going to be allowed to build a kingdom that will push God out, because God will not allow those kind of towers, those towers of Babel, to be built again. He will simply not allow it. Now, I thought he was just dealing with us in a local body. I didn't know that he was going to be dealing with the whole kingdom of God out across the whole United States. And this morning in Brevard County, there are representatives of Florida Today newspaper in every major church in Brevard County this morning. In every major church, there are reporters out there today trying to hear what the churches are going to say as they look horizontally. And I'm praying that the focus is going to be vertical, and that those who are coming are going to realize that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is still alive, and we're still looking to God. We're not looking to each other. God gave me a word out of the book of Ephesians as I was looking into all of this and struggling with it, trying to get some kind of idea as to what was going on. There's a passage in Ephesians. It's interesting that Curry had Steve and Donald Lignelli up here talking about marriage, and I was listening to as they recommitted their marriage vows to one another, that they were referring to this particular passage. But it's from the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. And it has to do with husbands and wives, but in the middle of it, as Paul is writing to husbands and wives, at the same time, he is saying something about his church, about the body of people, about the commitments that we make to one another. That as we commit ourselves as husbands and wives, so we come into relationship with each other. Would to God that some of the leaders in the kingdom out across this nation today would understand that whether they like it or not, they're married to each other. And that Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker can't enter into divorce. They are married to one another. And you don't hack your wife or your husband to death with a machete or with a bag full of rocks. You get together and you begin to heal. You get friends who will sit down with you, and you'll work through these things. And even though you'll never be the same, we've got to live together. Husbands, love your wives. This is Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. And then he stops, and the thought runs through his mind about this other kind of commitment. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, for this purpose, the reason Christ loved the church and gave himself for her was to make her holy, separate, apart, different from everybody else in the world. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or spot or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Now, as I was reading that passage, in fact, as I was reading it again this morning, I kept thinking about my wife's washing machine. It's back there in the utility room that's always out of balance. I mean, every time we turn that thing on and you put something in, the clothes all somehow get off to one side of the wringer, and it begins to bounce all over the utility room. I mean, the whole house shakes when we turn on the washing machine in our house, and buzzers go off and lights blink and that thing jumps all over the utility room. We go and you stop it, you get it all balanced up again, crank it back up, and all the sheets go over to one side, and away it goes again. Every once in a while I'll put my racquetball shoes in there just to clean them up, and then that destroys the whole thing. Washing is not an easy purpose. Now, when Paul was writing about this, he wasn't talking about electric washing machines. He was talking about women who went down to the river and took their husband's clothes and put it between two rocks and beat the dirt out of it. I mean, just crushed it with those rocks, pounded on it, that's all. That's the kind of washing it's not a gentle kind of pouring washing where you sit there and somebody just kind of drips it on your head. It's not that at all. That doesn't clean anything. The washing that God does is a violent kind of washing. When we talk about being washed by God, watch out. Because he puts you on a scrub board, or he puts you in a washing machine, and he pounds and finally gets the stuff out. Well, I believe that God has done that. I believe what we have been through over these last 3 months in this church, and what the whole broad kingdom has been going through over these last couple of weeks, has been a washing process. There's been a lot of dirt come out and float to the surface. But there's a second aspect of washing. There's an aspect of wringing. Now, I can remember my mother with the old washing machine that she had, and some of you old enough to remember this, where you washed it in two buckets, from one bucket to the other, and in between those buckets was a wringer made of two kind of rubber rollers the size of bowling pins with a handle on one end, and it was my job to stand there and turn that crank while she fed the stuff through it, smashing it out, all the pieces, wringing the water out of it. Every once in a while, you'd get a piece of your own clothing caught in there. I mean, that was really exciting. It was when you got the tail of your T-shirt caught in the wringer while you're wringing the thing through, and it wouldn't go backwards, and then there was all kinds of problems. Later, we got an electric wringer, and if you hadn't cut that thing off, it had pulled you through at the same time. And I believe that what's happening now, as I look out with what's happening in our church, is that we're in a wringing process. Now, in the electric washing machine, it's a much simpler matter. Turn the thing on and it spins at a high rate of speed and throws water all over the place. He gets the water and the soap out of the cloth, out of the material. Well, this passage that Paul is talking about here in Ephesians, where he says that he's going to present his church to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to present it as a church without spot or blemish or wrinkle. He's going to wash it with the water through the word. It's a violent kind of process of washing and wringing. And I need to tell you this, if you're going to get serious with God, you need to know that that's what he's going to do with your life. God is not going to let his people continue on anymore with a regular Sunday go-to-meeting kind of stuff. Then you go out and you fight with each other and you gossip about each other and you blast each other. God's not going to put up with it anymore. The tower is coming down, folks. God is leveling the thing out. And the high places are going to be made low, and the low places high, and the crooked is going to be made straight. And God is putting his axe to the root of the tree to bring it down to where the only people we can glorify is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are some other processes that are involved with washing and preparation. Besides the washing and the wringing, there is a drying process. Now, we have made drying very sophisticated recently. You put it in an electric dryer, and it kind of dries itself, and it hums and whistles and turns and squeaks, and you put perfume in there, and you put anti-static cloth in there. Everything comes out really neat. That's not the drying process that the Bible's talked about. It's not the drying process that most of us in my generation, the 55s and older, grew up with. That was done by clotheslines and clothespins. That's the way it was done. You hung it out to dry. Now, God is doing that with his body. Whether you like it or not, that's exactly what we see is happening in the press today. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is being hung out to dry. And everybody is taking a look at it. One of the most exciting things that has happened over this last week is everybody in America is talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's exciting. I praise God for it. I say, come on, let's do it some more. My son came home the other day. He works up at NASA, and he says, you know what they're watching up there? Oral Roberts. They're turning it on. Now they're sitting around laughing and making fun and sneering and all that kind of, but they got it on just the same, see? God will do anything that he wants to get the people of this nation to focus in on him. Now what's going to happen is when the smoke clears and all the debris is pushed away and the towers are down and the folks with their different languages have all gone off, all babbling here and there and everything else, when that's all done, emerging out of the midst of that is a pure and holy church that's coming forth. I am so excited about what God is doing with his church today. He is purifying it. He is washing it. He's drying it. He's wringing it out. He's doing all of those things. And all we're seeing right now, we're in a stage to where the church is being hung up to dry right now. Nobody likes to see it. Nobody likes to be hung by the scuff of their neck with a clothespin, waving in the breeze for everybody who wants to come along and say, there's the laundry. And that's where we are. Socks, underwears, girdles, bras, the whole thing, all out there for the whole world to see. Nothing is hidden. Not a thing. Better have your laundry clean when it's hung out to dry. God's saying to every one of us, clean up your act. Pat Robertson has been wise to keep himself out of this mess. The only thing he said, and the only statement that he's made, was just that. And I think it was prophetic, and then he backed off and said, I'm not going to say anything else about it. But he said, God is saying, clean your act up. He's cleaning it up. But he's not just cleaning up what's going on in Charlotte. Cleaning up what's going to be going on in Baton Rouge. This morning we found out in the papers they're going to be cleaning up what's going on in Lynchburg, Virginia at the same time. We find as you peel this thing back, there's all kinds of problems. Everybody's got their problems. He's already turned the spotlight on us right here. And I'm so grateful to be part of a body with a group of men who are part of the leadership who are saying we're going to do it ourselves. We're not going to wait for the press to do it for us, or for the police to do it, or for the state's attorneys generals to do it, as they may be seeing in South Carolina. We're going to be doing it ourselves. That God's people know how to police themselves. God's people know how to clean themselves up. And it's painful, and it's nasty, and it's frustrating. But it's taking place, and we're part of a body. I want you to know that you're part of a body that is determined to do things God's way. Out of the midst of this, some marvelous things are going to take. There's another step besides the washing and the wringing and the drying. There's another beautiful step that takes place. It's called ironing. Now, you know, I everything I've got on is permapress. The iron won't touch anything. But the clothes I used to wear were like that. You couldn't put them on unless they had been put under a hot iron. And I can still remember my mama with a little gas burner and an iron that she picked up with a hot pad, that she would sit over on top of that thing until it got good and hot, and then sprinkle the water on it with a bottle with a little sprinkler cap on it, and then put that iron on and listen to it sizzle as she ironed out those churches, those shirts and those pants, and made things so that the wrinkles were gone. God says that's what he's doing with his church. Not only without spot, but without wrinkle. And the heat is being applied, folks. And the wrinkles are going. I mean, they are fleeing in front. There are more people out across this nation today getting their acts straightened out than there has ever been in the history of the world. I mean, everybody is saying, we better clean ourselves up. We can't afford to have wrinkles. We can't afford to have corruption. We're going to have our things straight, because the spotlight is being turned on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a marvelous time to be alive. That God is saying, everybody's looking. Oral Roberts said Wednesday morning, and we had done the television show together. I was up at the prayer tower with him, and I'm so deeply concerned. I've been weeping all week long, just, you know, weeping for the body of Christ. And God kept saying, don't weep for the body of Christ. Weep for yourself, but don't weep. I'm in charge of this thing. And I said, Oral, what do you think God is doing? I said, I know what he's doing. He is lancing the boil. He has put the scalpel to the boil. Kids don't have boils anymore. I had them all the time when I was a child, all over the back of my neck and the back of my knees and other places that I can't mention right now. But every once in a while, it gets so bad, you had to go to the doctor and he would lance the thing. And out of that would come all the pus and the corruption of the system. But after it was cut, healing would come forth. And Oral was saying, God is lancing the boil that's formed on the body of Christ. And that's what we're seeing right now. But out of that, healing is coming. And the word he was using was, let it seethe. Just leave it alone. Just wait until it's over. And we're going to find that some marvelous things are taking place. And so I'm excited. I'm excited about being part of the body. I can't tell you how much I wanted to get home, to get around some of the folks who are in the electronic media. And I praise God for it. So much of what has happened in the United States today has happened because the gospel has been broadcast by television. I am so happy for that. I have been supportive of that. I want to continue to be supportive of it. I believe God has ordained it. He wants it out there. He wants to fill the airwaves with His gospel. That's the way He wants it, but He wants it pure at the same time. He wants it to be His gospel that goes out. He wants the churches to be filled with His gospel, not people that are building their own kingdoms, but people that are building the kingdom of God, who are willing to lie down and die if necessary, that the kingdom of God can be built, that Jesus can be glorified, that no man is glorified, that the Jesus Himself is glorified. There's a final step in this whole washing process, as I've looked at it, where Paul says to the Ephesians that he's washing the church. It'll be without spot or blemish. It's not just washing and wringing and drying and ironing, but there's that final marvelous step, which is the wearing step, which is the reason for everything that happens. You don't wash a shirt and wring it out, dry it and iron it just to put it in the drawer or hang it in the closet and leave it there. You wash it so that the master can take it. You put it on. Wear it. And that's what I'm praying for right now. I sat last night and listened to Mark and Diane as they sang in that concert. And my head filled up and my eyes filled up. I was hearing God say, I'm going to return to my people. I'm going to touch my people. And out of the midst of all of the turmoil, where the heathen are raging, and the daughters of the Philistines are rejoicing in the streets of Gath and Ashkelon, in the midst of all of this, I will restore my church. And I will touch my people. And I will bring out of all of this a mighty, marvelous church that even the gates of hell cannot prevail against. We are in the midst of something so exciting here in Melbourne. I know it in my spirit. I can't put it into words, but I can tell you that something is about to break that is going to open up this entire city to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it's going to happen. And we're part of it. But the prophecy that came a few minutes ago from one of our young men is part of it also. It's not going to be just through the Tabernacle Church. God is going to take the whole body of Christ and is going to bring it together again. He is restoring His church. Touch my people, oh God. I want you to get quiet. And I want you to feel what I felt last night while the Hawaiians were singing. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to sweep through your mind, through your heart, with a new purity, a new love, a new hope, a new faith, and let God say something to you this morning. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to come again in power and in holiness. And as this church starts its next 20 years, that in this community you will break us open as ground is broken by the plow for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Make us a church without spot or wrinkle, acceptable to you. And we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quick.